All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, May 2nd of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a big 12-game MLB slate, but then we have a couple of showdowns in the NBA and NHL streets, as well as trucks tonight for NASCAR. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the Sabersim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. I got to look at the schedule for tomorrow, see what's up with sport lock times and stuff. I've been moving it up like about 30 minutes as needed. So I will check, and then I will let everyone know what time the show is for tomorrow. It is Friday, so we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern in about an hour here. And we have plenty of people signed up today. We have a full list of people to get to. So it should be a fun one today. So looking forward to that show. So don't miss it. All right. Let's get Sabersim up. And we will jump into questions here. No questions in the Discord ahead of the show, but there is a question here from Jay Sams Jr. Said, how does Sabersim take into account batters that are good against hitting fastballs and batters that are good against hitting off speed pitches? Good question. So I think that, you know, some of this micro kind of stuff gets accounted for in like pitcher statistics, you know, so I don't know all the inner workings of the model. You know, I'm not a data scientist, but my understanding is we know like what pitches are in a pitcher's arsenal. And then we understand, you know, the averages like against them and like the rates that they kind of throw them. So I don't know if it's like so granular that it's taken into account, like, okay, this guy throws, you know, 68% slider and, you know, Otani is like batting this against the slider. Like, I don't know if it's like that granular, but I will say that, you know, we do like understand, pitchers, maybe not, I think it's technically micro, meso, macro. So like macro is like biggest, kind of zoomed out. Meso is like kind of in the middle, and then micro is like as granular as it gets. I would say it's a little bit more on like the meso side, where it's like understanding like a lot of the statistics you see, like ISO and WOBA and expected ERA and like kind of things like that, right? I don't know if we're, you know, going so far as to say like, okay, this is like what this guy pitches. These are his, you know, averages against, you know, this is the guy's averages against these pitches and things like that. A lot of that does get taken into account indirectly, I'll say, like in markets and stuff, right? So like we are using pitcher props like as an input in our model, right? It's part of the model. It's not like the entire model, but Vegas lines, totals, you know, all of those type of things. I think that they all kind of, when you put them all together, right? When you put like the model's inputs with Vegas, with all the other things that we use, you know, you indirectly account for other things and kind of protect yourself against things that you might be missing along the way. I do think that, you know, if you have a feel for those type of things, it could be an opportunity to add some value. Like, hey, you know, I think this guy has a better chance than predicted of hitting really well today, then try it out, right? And then if you're going to try those things out, track your record, right? Like see how often you are right, see how often you are wrong. If you're right about 50% of the time, you know, maybe look for something like higher value to spend your time on, because I'm sure that's going to be a time intensive process. But if, you know, you're right 60-65% of the time, 70% of the time, like, hey, you know, you're clearly onto something and you are adding value to the projections, and I would continue to do that. So you know, I could have, I hope I was not too indirect there. I hope I wasn't too abstract with my answer, but some of the inner workings, I don't know. Try to give it my best shot there. All right. Christopher said, I have a Saber Sim account. Is the simulator better with starter or ultimate? Because we're going to hit 100K tonight, Rockets Warriors. Good luck, good luck, good luck. What I will say is that, you know, the big difference between the two, right? Just kind of understanding starter versus ultimate, right? Starter, you know, there's like a list of differences. First off, if you wanted to like really see it, we can go to like the Saber Sim pricing page, has like the differences listed here, right? Biggest feature differences, in my opinion, 5,000 lineups on ultimate versus 500 on starter. Okay, this is per build. And then the second one is the contest sims. You know, these are like the first two listed, right? So the contest sims are additional sorting metrics effectively, right? Every single contest. Say that again. Some of them will be 33% to first. Some of them will be 20% to first. Some of them will pay out the top 23% of entries. Some of them will pay out the top 20, right? All of those contest dynamics lead to different lineups being better for one contest versus another. So the ROI allows you to rank your lineups on a contest by contest basis, with starter, your primary sorting metric is going to be Saber score. So why don't we do a build here? We can do one for the showdown tonight, and then we can how I would go about this with ultimate. Okay, so we're going to go over to the Houston Golden State showdown for tonight. All right. And we'll do like a starter demo. We'll do a ultimate demo for the same slate, kind of just, you know, to highlight the differences here. So with starter, right, I'm going to have 500 lineups. I'm going to make two small adjustments, two projections, and then I'm going to kick this build off, right? Big things with showdowns is that the builder is building your lineups, which you can see in the settings icon if you click it, on 0-10 settings. Okay, so what this means is that we are using no correlation in the sim. The sim has natural correlation because it's a play-by-play sim, right? When Steph Curry passes it to Jimmy Butler and Jimmy Butler scores, Steph Curry's going to get an assist, right? You can see like who's correlated to who in the sim, right? Okay, like Curry and Kuminga tend to have some correlation. There's some opposite correlation between Curry and Green if it's like a shootout and they're both kind of, you know, shooting threes and making it, and it ends up being kind of like a back and forth game, right? So that's the natural correlation that happens in the sim. The correlation slider amplifies that effect. We don't really want to do that. We want to just rely on the play-by-play sims. And then sim diversity at 10 tells us to take one instance of this game playing out in our database, play it out, excuse me, and then return the optimal lineup. Okay. So at 10, just remember, we're taking one sim each time we build your lineup, and then we're building the best possible lineup from how that simulation played out. All right. So when we use starter, we're going to be primarily using Saber score single game. Okay. The reason, well, I mean, you know, there is a single game on the slate, and we use a single game sorting metric. So those kind of go hand in hand. But the reason we're doing it is if you click this eye icon, we're going to be using these three variables, sim optimals, sum projection, and then this negative weight on this ownership variable. So the sim optimals is the key one. If you go and look at the other Saber scores in the list, the small slate, the large slate, they're both going to have the projection and ownership, but they're not going to have the sim optimals. So the sim optimals, basically, you know, we were talking about, hey, we're going to take one simulation, we're going to build the best lineup. Well, it is possible that the lineup that gets built, this group of six players, can be the best group of six players for another sim as well. Like, hey, Curry and the captain with Sengun, Butler, Heald, Post, and Adams is not only the best lineup you could build for this sim, but it's also the best lineup for this other sim and this other sim, right? Well, we're not going to put the same lineup into your pool more than once, but we do think that information is valuable. So what we do is we tally it with this sim optimals summary statistic and we say, hey, this group of six players came up as the best lineup you could build under the salary cap seven different times. Okay. And then we're going to use that as an input into the Sabre score grading metric. Okay. So sim optimal is really, really important with Sabre score single game here. When you start to run lineups for, you know, two game slates, three game slates, sim diversity will come down. And then sim optimals won't be a statistic anymore. It's because sim optimals only works with sim diversity 10. Okay. So that's the big thing there. It's the major thing to be aware of when using single game Sabre score is like what the difference is between the other Sabre scores and how the sim optimals are having an impact on the lineups that you build. But either way, getting back to like a demo, right? Okay, we built 500 lineups, made the two required changes, ran the lineups, sorted by Sabre score. I have an average projection aggregate metric. In NBA Showdown, duplication is important, okay? So what I would do, right, is I like to set up an aggregate metric for salary too. Just like see, you know, how much salary am I using in these lineups, right? And my average is like $49,790. You know, this is like a little... It can be a lot, right? And basically, higher salary lineups tend to be duplicated more. I know NBA Showdown is a high duplication sport. If you wanted to know how much, right, you can always go back to a past slate. It's like, okay, say I am playing tonight. What's a good contest? We said the 100K. Okay, so I'm playing the $20 100K to first contest, right? Okay, this contest has about 23,000 entries. Let me go back to yesterday's slate, and then let's go and look at like the flagship showdown over there. Okay, we go back to yesterday. I think it was Denver Clippers. Yep. Usually the night one's a little bit bigger. Okay, we go to the contest tab. Okay, cool. So they had 100K yesterday too. Pretty similar entries, a little bit really close. Like it was $18 yesterday, it's 20 today, 23,000 entries today, 19,000 yesterday. Okay, so pretty close, pretty close. All right, we click on this contest. First, let's just see how many times the winning lineup was duplicated. So one, two. So it was only duplicated one time. So the winning lineup only duplicated once. That's good. And then we come in here and then we say, okay, let's look at people who maxed this contest. Let's look at the highest sim ROI. And then let's look at the average dupes in this contest. And interesting, right? We see how high these average dupes are. 28 dupes, 35, 31, 30. Like all of them, you know, plus 15, right? 15 to 30 dupes is like pretty normal on this contest. So one is that this lineup that won is actually really, really unique, right? To only be duplicated one time. This is a very lowly duplicated lineup, but on average we can expect our lineups to be duplicated somewhere between like 15 to 30 times, right? Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that your 100K first prize ends up getting split a bunch of different ways, and then now you're more likely to see profit in the anywhere from like 5,000 to I don't know, maybe like 15,000, right? Like that's kind of how like the 100K gets split up and all those things. So we want to build more lineups like the ones that won, right? We want to be a little bit more conscious of, hey, you know, we don't want to play lineups that are too highly duped because it's already really hard to win. And, you know, now imagine trying to win and then you have to split the prize with a bunch of people. That's no fun, right? So we're going to do something in our builds to account for that duplication, right? We're like, hey, we understand that this is something we need to be aware of. So let's do something for it, right? Okay. So a couple different things you could do, right? You could do some ownership. You could do salary. You could do stack constructions. We could do geo mean, right? We have a bunch of different kind of ways to make our lineups a little bit more unique. So for me, the first thing I see is like, okay, these lineups kind of are using a lot of salary, right? We're more likely to be duplicated the higher our salary is. It's always a balance because, you know, NBA is a sport where projection is really important, and projections normally correlated to salary. So a couple things we could do here. Number one thing I would try is a some ownership filter. So you're going to come in here, you're going to set up a filter, you can rename it so you could use it, you know, again, as the playoffs go on, right? I'm going to call it some own. And we can say, okay, show me lineups with ownership less than, and we pick a number, right? We'll say 235. Now, normally what I try and do here is I'm trying to get rid of like the top, you know, 10 to 20% highest owned lineups, right? So 235 didn't do anything for us. Okay, let's go down 200 maybe. Okay, so we start to get rid of some lineups here. And 21 go in the trash. Okay, so let's be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe 195. And that gets like 40. So we're getting closer. I'm trying to get like 50, 100 lineups in the trash. And we get 72, right? Okay, this is right in between 10 to 20%. Okay, it's about 15-ish percent. This is good, right? If you guys were paying attention, you might have noticed we did end up getting rid of like some of our top lineups, right? I think our top two lineups here both had a higher sum ownership, but those both also had seven sim optimals, and we still, our top lineup now still has seven sim optimals. But the other thing, right, is that it has 50K salary. So, you know, a couple of these at the top, right? 50K, 50K, then it goes down 49.6, 49.8. Couple of different things we can do. You know, if you're like, hey, I want to leave top salary lineups as an option, okay, that's fine. Some people might just want to cut it down, right? Like, hey, you know, maybe I'm going to come in here and I'm going to set my max salary to 49.9, 49.8. I wouldn't, if I had to make a recommendation, I wouldn't go too far with this. You know, I'd probably go like 49,700 max. I wouldn't want to go below that, because then we start maybe getting away from like good lineups. I think there are good lineups that you can play that are like 49.7 to 50K. I just think they're a little bit harder to find. So if you want to mess with max salary, you can. I wouldn't drop it too much, maybe like 200-300. Another thing we can do is we can do a little bit of research, right? We can go on this slate and we say, hey, you know, if I go and run a build in optimizer mode, you know, what is the most common captains? What are the most common pay down options? What are the most common stack types, right? What we're doing is we're getting an idea of like how people are building based on projected score. You know, other places in the industry are using traditional optimizers, and, you know, this is a good way to see what a traditional optimizer is giving you, right? So we come in here, we sort by projected score, and then all we did was we built 20 lineups, and then we come in here and we look at some of these characteristics. Okay, Steph Curry captain, really, really popular. He is like the highest projected player on the slate, so that kind of makes sense. You know, we go over to utility. Okay, I'm more looking for like pay down options. So like here, right, Buddy Hield and Steven Adams. We just sort by exposure. Very popular salary relief. So Hield, Adams, Post. I'm just going to write this down, right? Okay, so Curry. Who was the other one? Curry, Sengun, captains. And then Adams, Healed, Post, utility. Okay, then coming to like stack. I like to go team stacks. Okay, a couple Golden State 5-1s, more Golden State 4-2s. So I would actually say like Golden State 4-2s are like probably the most popular here. Golden State 4-2s. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to get an idea of like some of the characteristics of like what the most common lineups might look like. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my build that we're using here, right? And I'm going to compare some of the characteristics. Okay, I go to team stacks. Okay, five stacks, one of each team. Okay, a lot of Golden State 4-2, like we were seeing. Pretty close in like three stacks. So like what I would do with this information is like, hey, I know that Golden State 4-2s are like some of the most common stacks coming up. you know, their pool exposure is 32%. Our exposure is 50. I actually don't want to be over the field here. And if anything, I'm more willing to be under than I am over, right? So I might just decide that I want to match my pool exposure here. And I want to play other types of stacks that the field might not be getting to at a high enough rate, right? Maybe I want to get to more Houston 4-2s. Maybe I want to get to more even stacks, right? This is a way of using lineup construction to help yourself be more unique. And notice, like, we're not having to, you know, use any like salary things or stuff like that. We're just simply using lineup construction. Okay, then we go over to players. So then we see here, okay, Curry and Sengun are like the most popular captains. We kind of expected that. And then we go over to utility, Steven Adams, Post, Hield. You know, these aren't so bad. Like, Hield's kind of even. Post a little bit of leverage, 6.2. Adams a little bit of leverage, 10.9. You know, what I would probably say is, like, you know, you might want to like even get a little like granular with these lineups where it's like, okay, here I'm playing the most popular captain and then I'm playing two of the most popular pay down options. And this lineup is max salary. Hold on. Sorry, I had a sneeze. You know, just again, like looking at these lineups characteristics, right? I might determine like, hey, this lineup has too many pieces that I think can cause it to be higher duplicated, right? Those are kind of the things that I'm looking for. And I might just decide like, hey, I don't really want to play this lineup, right? Kind of a similar one, right? Curry with like Post and Moody max salary. Like, okay, maybe I don't want to play that one either. This one's a little bit different, right? Kevon Looney gets in here, 49.6 salary, different captain. You know, this kind of looks like an interesting lineup, right? So, you know, Showdown is going to be one of the least, in my opinion, plug-and-play type of formats here. You know, when duplication gets into it, it gets a little bit more kind of game theory type of, you know, kind of contest. You gotta make some like decisions here, right? Like, this lineup's interesting, Curry captain, Adams, but then it goes to Gary Payton and then it leaves a little salary on the table. You know, again, like, this one's kind of interesting. It is a Golden State 4-2, right? Like, that's something else that we got to consider because we saw that coming up a lot. But, you know, I think that if you spent some time here, you know, you might be able to figure out like, okay, what lineups maybe do I want to stay like away from. This one's kind of interesting. It has Curry two pieces, but it is a 3-3, right? It's not a 4-2. And it does leave like a couple hundred salary on the table. This one, I'd be interested to see how duplicated this lineup comes in after the slate if we did play it, right? But I think you guys kind of like pick up what I'm putting down here as far as, you know, just trying to analyze your lineups and find a good set of lineups where maybe your duplication, you know, we said like 15 to 30 dupes. Hopefully you're on like a little bit of the lower side. You still have good, strong lineups and they can help you win your contest, right? So those are the things that I'm like mostly thinking about here with regard to NBA Showdown on the starter plan. Now, if you're on the ultimate plan, right? What I would say is, okay, we come in here, we go over to our contest sims, right? And notice that some of like the chalkier plays kind of come down with our exposures. We get a lot flatter with some, like, you know, we had 45% Curry, right? Now our highest is 20% and it's Butler. Curry's at 15. Sengun is at 10. We're adding a bunch of players here, taking some shots, maybe on some less likely captains, but, you know, a shot here and there nonetheless. Okay, we go over to utility. Adams is like even leverage. Looney came up a lot, right? We're like, hey, let's take a shot on Moody, on Looney. And Moody, let's be a little bit under on Hield. So you can see like where SaberSim is like kind of getting off of the chalkier pieces and getting onto some different pieces with the ROIs. I know we still made this adjustment here, so we'll just leave that in the team stacks. But then also, you know, our average salary is down, right? with SaberScore, it was like 49,790, I think. Here it's down about 200 at 49,590. So the builder is, you know, naturally getting to a little bit lower salary lineups because it does account for duplication in the contest sim. The other thing that you can do that we haven't talked about yet is GeoMean, right? So on starter, you would have to set this up as a rule in an aggregate in the aggregate rules section. So you go to rule type aggregate, and then you would set up a rule. It says my own GeoMean no more than X. GeoMean is a form of product ownership. So in this filter, we used some ownership, right? Like where you add up the player percentages and then we filter out the highest ones. You can also multiply them together to get a sense of how likely a lineup is to be duplicated. We have a tutorial on this. It's how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work. I'll drop it here in the chat. Good video, kind of breaks down some ownership versus product. But that's another thing you could do, right? It's a little bit easier to do on Ultimate. I would say this is like a benefit of having Ultimate, is you can create these custom metrics in the sorting metrics. You can go down, click add metric. And then I have one here that I've renamed to GeoMean that says my own GeoMean value. So it takes a lineup, calculates the geometric mean of it, and then it presents it as a summary statistic. This is another thing that you can filter for, right? Okay, show me lineups with GeoMean less than X, right? And maybe I say 30. Okay, so then I'm going to rename it. GeoMean, save. And that took 37 lineups in the trash. Okay, well, what if we go a little bit higher? Oh, I need to go back to ROI. Okay, we did 30. Maybe now we do 29. And that's about 10%, right? So we could use both of them together. We could use GeoMean and Summone, right? Now that's taken 96 lineups in the trash. So there is a little bit of overlap. I think the Summone had 72. GeoMean had 56. If all those lineups were different, that'd be like 128. And here we have 92. Six lineups in the trash. So there was some overlap, which is fine, right? But, you know, this is two ways now of accounting for duplication. We see our average salary is a little bit lower. We see our captains are more spread out. Our top ones are Van Vliet, Butler, Post. We don't get to Curry and Sengun until our fourth and fifth exposures. You know, the ROI, I think, is going to be a little bit better at getting to some, you know, lineups that are going to be a little less chalky by itself without you having to do too much manual input. But it's okay to do that, right? Like, hey, we went and ran our optimizer build. We got some ideas here. We're applying them and we're looking at lineups and making sure they kind of pass the eye test for us. And, you know, once we're ready and once we're happy with these lineups, we're going to go and we're going to save them and submit them into our contest. So here we've kind of talked about a couple different ways to, use one, use starter, use single game saber score, use ROI, some of the differences between how the lineups look, the functionality with like custom metrics and geometric mean, how to analyze lineups and like maybe have like a little bit of a feel for what lineups might come in higher duplicated that you might want to stay away from. So hopefully this is really, really helpful and helps you guys playing NBA Showdown tonight. We did release a guide for the playoffs. If you go to Saber School in the top right corner, we have this new video, NBA Playoffs Showdown DFS, how to beat NBA DFS Showdown contest in the playoffs 2025 guide. If you just click Saber School, it'll be in this latest section. It should be right here at the top. If you don't see it for some reason, go to how to beat DFS, go to NBA, and it should be again, right there at the top, just like released about 2 weeks ago here. Okay. We do have other showdown content, how to build winning NBA showdown lineups is like another good one. So both of these are really good for showdowns. So I checked those out, but hopefully that was a comprehensive analysis for building some NBA showdown lineups. All right. DRCC said, would you add a similar ownership filter to today's NBA slate, regular slate? I wouldn't. And the reason we were adding it, right? You got to kind of understand what is the purpose of this filter. Well, we're trying to account for duplication. Okay. And the reason for that is because it's a one game on the slate and there's like only maybe 20 viable players in the player pool, right? Today's NBA slate has 12 games, nine batters per game, or nine batters per team. So 24 teams times nine batters plus 24 pitchers. You know, the player pool is massive, right? We don't need to worry about duplication on a 12-game MLB slate. You can go back and look at past 12-game MLB slates if you want. You know, I'm like positive average dupes is zero, right? Like for like most of like the top sim ROIers there. But like the same way we went back to yesterday's NBA showdown and looked, you know, go look at like a past MLB slate and be like, okay, you know, maybe this is something useful to do for like a 2-game slate. Like, well, you know, does duplication matter in a 2-game slate? I don't know, right? Okay, go look at a similarly sized contest for a past 2-game slate, see if duplication matters, and then determine, should I use the ownership filter? Should I not? You know, the whole point of the ownership filter was to help us lower our chances of being duplicated. But if we don't need to worry about it, then there's no reason to do that filter, right? So that's kind of the point I'm getting at there. All right. We are all caught up with questions here in the Discord. Looks like we're caught up in the YouTube chat as well. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back in about 25-ish minutes for the Build Review Show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.